Good morning again to you. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to continue our sermon series. We've been in this series for several weeks now. I want to say welcome again to all of our guest families here this morning. We pray that you get an experience of the Lord that sticks with you throughout Monday through Saturday. And we ask that the Lord God's blessing over the service this morning, and we pray that He will bless the Word and bless your hearts this morning. I love this passage because it gives us a very practical answer to a very real question that many of us have, which is how in the world do we win our lost family and our lost co-workers, our lost neighbors to Christ? How do we do that practically? And throughout this section in the book of 1 Peter, all the way from 13 and continuing into chapter 3, God gives us an answer that may surprise you. And the very clear answer in here is submit. Submission. That is the way that you can be a gospel light to the folks around you. That is a way, submission, that they will look at you and they say, there's something different about that guy. He doesn't buck up against authority. There's something different about that lady in our workplace, that employee. She is gentle and meek, and she actually respects our boss. Amazing. And Scripture, what I love about Scripture is that it's not what people think at first. A lot of people think the Bible is a book that has high and lofty thoughts about God, but doesn't teach about practical things, like how to win your coworker to Christ. And the furthest thing, that's the furthest thing from the truth. The Bible is not just a doctrinal, theological book with just these high and lofty thoughts about God without giving us practical things and how-to things in our lives. And so this sermon title is entitled Willful Submission and Gospel Witness. And basically what I want to do this morning is to connect these two ideas. Maybe these ideas have been separate in your mind, but the Bible, through the Apostle Peter, connects these two thoughts. And I want to give you a main idea. If you're taking notes, there's a little insert in your bulletin you should have received when you walked through the door. I want to encourage you to get out those that little insert and take notes. If you flip to the back of it, what we encourage in this church is that you take home those questions that you see on the back of the sermon notes insert and take them home and use them as a way to lead your family in family worship. That's one of the things we teach at this church, is that being a believer is not simply an hour on a Sunday morning. We want you to take this home and live it out your Monday through Saturday. And so one of the ways we do that is through family worship. You lead your family and your household in the reading of God's Word, and you pray God's Word, and you sing God's Word together. And so just use this, if it's helpful for you, as questions to talk to your household about the sermon this morning. So I want to encourage you to do that. So the main idea is this: godly submission supports your gospel witness. That's the main idea. That's the thesis this morning. Godly submission supports your gospel witness. In other words, to the degree that you as a believer submit to the authorities that are in your life is the degree in which you will have a faithful, effective gospel witness. Let me illustrate. If you knew Matt, that's me, the 23-year-old Matt, and you could flash back to whenever I was that age, I was on the basketball court playing a pickup game in a league, and the guy totally hacked me. It was a clear foul. I mean, my goodness. And the ref didn't call it. Okay? And so the 23-year-old version of Pastor Matt started arguing in the middle of the game with the official. Okay? And to the degree in which the room, the gym, it got a little uncomfortable. And I'm not proud of that moment. Okay? I was in my former life, you know, I shouldn't say that. As a younger man, I was a lot prouder than what I am now. God has humbled me over the years, and I was. But whenever I was younger, I argued with the officials a lot during games, and I was kind of hot-headed as a player. And but like I said, it was a clear foul. The guy just missed it. Okay, and I let him know. I let him know about it. Here's the problem with that. Okay, two big problems with that. Number one is I was a claiming Christian. See, that wouldn't be a problem necessarily if I wasn't a claiming Christian. And that's the thought I want to give you today. These two things are connected. The way you submit to the authority, in this case, the officials, were the authority on the court at that time. The way you submit to authority directly affects your gospel witness. So the problem, number one, is that I was a claiming Christian. The second problem is that this was a seminary basketball league and I was studying to be a pastor at the time. Makes the room a little uncomfortable. Pastor Matt, back off a little bit. And I'm still waiting for the day when the official in your TV says time out in the game and turns and looks at you and says, you know what, you're right. I'm going to change my call because you yelled at the TV. You know, we've all been there. And I think the illustration is settling with you a bit. To the degree that you submit to the authorities around you is the degree in which you will have a faithful, effective witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the setting that we're discussing this morning is not a basketball court. It's an office space. It's water cooler conversations. It's the world that you're in. I'm not necessarily in that world. Okay, I've had secular jobs before. I used to work for our different restaurants as a server, Outback Steakhouse, no rules, just right. So I understand it to a degree, but I'm not a businessman. My job as a pastor is to open the Word of God and show you what it says and help you as a believer in your workplace to equip you to do that. And so let me read 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll start in verse 18 and go through 25. It says this, servants, be subject, or the verb is submit yourselves. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all respect, not only to do the good and gentle, but also... Oh, let me back up. I messed that up. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed, Jesus being he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And here's the gospel, here's the good news of Jesus Christ. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Isn't that a beautiful passage? Now, right up front, you notice a disparity between then and now. We are not slaves anymore. We don't have slaves anymore. The culture back during Rome did have slaves. And it wasn't all that you might think it was. Being a slave, if you had a good master back then, wasn't a bad gig. You made a good living. You had living quarters that your master provided for you. And you were simply his servant. And it wasn't a bad life, matter of fact, back then. What we have is a relationship between employees and employers. That's the closest parallel we can use to apply the message that we have today. And so this is not a situation that was as serious in the sense of these masters treating their slaves unjustly. This is a situation where we find ourselves today in the 21st century having to submit to our boss, whether he is a good or bad boss. And so this is very applicable to everyone in the room that's in this workforce, that's in the world, and you're trying to be a Christian, you're trying to be effective to those who are around you, and you are trying to be a faithful gospel witness for Jesus. And so if you're taking notes, the first thing that I want you to see is the different commands, the command verbs. And so look at verse 18. Servants, be subject to your own masters. And what I want you to do is to connect this up to verse 12. So 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2, excuse me, verse 12, it says this. Peter says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Like I said at the very beginning, one of the very practical ways you can be an effective gospel witness at your workplace is to do the opposite of what everyone else does at work, which is to willfully, joyfully, happily submit to your boss and not complain about him or her whenever they're not around. Now, this will give you a very different flavor in your workforce. You will be different. You will be weird. You will be strange if you do this at your area wherever you work. You will stand out like a sore thumb, won't you? I mean, the common thing to do in a workplace is to talk about your bosses, in a way that is unbecoming of a Christian. Is that fair? Let's just say that. That's the common thing to do, is to complain and to, write an anonymous note or something like this. Some companies have this, maybe a suggestion box or something like that. And that's the common thing to do. The message for you today as a Christian is for you to not do that, of course, is to willfully submit. And that's why I entitled the sermon Willful Submission. It's this idea that you have a different agenda than your coworker. Guys that go to this church have told me that working in the workforce today has a different feel even than it did 10 years ago. I think we could all agree that the number one thing, or the number one objective for lost folks in the world, in the workforce, is more money and title and promotions. Are we in agreement there? That's what the workforce does. And not that those things are bad in and of themselves. What I'm simply presenting to you is that Christians have a larger agenda than a promotion. We have a larger agenda than more money. Our larger agenda is the salvation of those who are lost around us. And perhaps you're being one of our guests today. Perhaps you have never trusted in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so whenever I say the term lost, that's simply what I'm referring to. That's a term that Christians use for non-Christians, a man that's or a woman that's lost their way. And I used to be this. You're not born a Christian. I was a lost man at one time. Okay, I came to faith at the age of 12 in my Savior Jesus Christ. And my life changed ever since then. And so that's what we mean when we say lost. Perhaps you are one of those lost people, and you've observed a Christian in your workplace. Hopefully that Christian is being an example, a good example to Christ. And they are doing what this passage says here. But there are at least two different reasons, if you're taking notes, why we should be subject. Reasons to be subject. Number one, because unjust suffering is a picture of God's grace. Unjust suffering is a picture of God's grace. And Peter says it right here. It's more to your credit if when you have an unfair boss that you submit to him or her in that situation. That is more of a light shown for Christ in that situation? Absolutely, of course, you should submit to good bosses. But Peter's making a distinction here that if you're in the room this morning and you have a situation that you're in, that you are struggling with your boss, they're not treating you as fairly as you think they should be treating you. They have not given you certain things that you think you deserve being an employee in that company. The message is you should subject yourselves to them anyways. You should submit to their leadership anyways because you have a larger agenda as a Christian. Again, your largest agenda is not necessarily that promotion. Your largest agenda is your boss's or your coworkers' salvation. Suffering as a result of an unfair boss is a picture of the grace of God. And we'll get into that in just a moment when he talks about how Christ unjustly suffered for you and I on the cross. It's a picture of Jesus. And the second is that Christians are called to suffer. Look at verse 21. For to this you have been called, and the this is the suffering. Did you know that if you have trusted in Christ, you are called to a life of suffering? This is your life that you are called to. If you are a Christian, you will suffer. And I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. He says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." As a Christian, you are embarking on a lifetime of suffering. And this is what the Bible teaches. Being a Christian is not easy. If you're a Christian in your workplace, you will be made fun of behind your back. If you haven't, you will. If you're a Christian at your workplace, you'll be looked at differently. You'll be weird. You'll be a stranger. The message to you is, that's okay. You are on the path to heaven one day, and our job as Christians is to bring lost people with us to heaven one day. And the scripture gives us a very clear, practical way to do that, which is submission. And the word submit is, I think it's fair to say it's not culturally acceptable to use that word today. Is that fair? That's a nasty word in our culture today. But in the Bible, submission is a very Christ-like thing to do. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. It's a very Christ-like thing to do. Starting in verse 21 again, it says this, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." And here's how Christ submitted himself. And what's fascinating here is what I want you to see is that Jesus submitted himself to inferiors, meaning you and me. The Lord of the universe, the ultimate authority, submitted himself to death on our behalf. We are called in this passage to submit to our superiors in the workplace. But the difference here, the main difference here, is Jesus submitted himself to his inferiors, his creation. The Creator came down as a man and submitted himself to death on a cross. Look at verse 22. "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." In other words, he is unjustly suffering. "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Did you know that it is a very Christ-like thing to submit yourself to authority around you? Jesus submitted to the Father. Let me give you a couple of examples. In John 5:30, Jesus, the Lord of the universe, says this, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Do you see how submission is a Christ-like thing to do? Consider John chapter 8, 28. I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as my Father taught me to speak. The Lord Jesus submits to the Father and also submitted himself to death on a cross. And his message for all of us this morning is submit. And by your submission to the authorities around you, you will be a beautiful light to the gospel. So the question for you is this. You don't have to raise your hand or anything to this question, but are you being mistreated at your job right now? Do you feel like you are being unfairly or unjustly treated? Again, don't raise your hand to that, but just think about that in your heart. The scripture's encouragement to you this morning is this. That's your chance to be like Jesus. Do you see the connection? That's your moment. That's your opportunity. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that you should leap with joy when people persecute you or treat you unfairly at your work. Why? Because as a believer, you have a larger agenda. Your agenda is to look your boss right in the eye and your coworkers right in the eye with all sincerity and clarity of conscience and say, whatever you wish, I submit to your rules around this office, and become a weird Christian. Become a salty Christian. That is your opportunity to shine a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ to where your coworkers are going to look at you differently after that. They are going to look at you very differently after that because they will see somebody that's going against the culture. They will see somebody that's going against the norm, and they will recognize your gospel witness. And Lord willing, with your prayers, come and ask you, what is this faith that you have? And then you will be able to share with them your love for Jesus. You say, my Lord Jesus submitted himself to death on a cross to save me from my sins. And so me submitting myself in this job and this time in my life is a small price to pay for this conversation that we are having right now. And that's the whole point. You have a greater agenda. Let the world have the promotions and the money. It doesn't make you happy anyway. Christians will be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ because we have a larger agenda. And I promise you, if that's your mentality, once you get to heaven, you will have all the treasure in Jesus Christ that you will ever need anyways. Your suffering and your mistreatment is brief and it's momentary. Let the world have the promotions. Let the employees talk to their boss in a flattering way to try to ease their way up the totem pole, so to speak. Let them have that motive. That's not our motive as a Christian. We are not about flattery for promotions. We are about submission for the gospel. And there is a major heart motivational difference between the two. And again, why do we do this? We do this because we have a larger agenda in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he gives us this example right here. During the time of Christ's trial, he didn't fight back. He didn't try to fight Rome. He didn't lash out against Pilate. He was silent. And he let the suffering come to him because he had a larger agenda in mind. He wasn't so much concerned about his justice, about his fair treatment. Again, he was without sin. and still suffered. Christ was concerned with the salvation of mankind. And where the rubber meets the road with this passage is right in our hearts here at this very moment. You have a decision to make. I have a decision to make. Am I going to be different and submit and so shine my light before the lost people around me that they may see my good works and glorify my Father in heaven? Or am I going to take the pattern of the world, try to bring flattery to my boss and those in superiors around me, and to try to promote myself forward? The way of a Christian is humility. The way of the Christian is to put themselves last. The way of a Christian is to serve, not to be served. And you will be very different. The Lord Jesus didn't fight back or retaliate. He wasn't so much concerned about his justice. He was concerned about the salvation of the lost. And at the end of verse 23, he says, he, being Jesus, continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. One of the main reasons why Jesus could endure this suffering that he did is because he knew one day his Father would make it right. The judge of all the universe who judges justly would make it right. And as a Christian, you have to leave it there. My encouragement to you, workers in the workforce, in the business world, leave it there. Don't fight for your justice. Leave it with God, who in the end will make everything right and everything fair. Our unjust suffering is brief and it's momentary. And Jesus knew that a future judgment would give him present endurance. You can write that down. Jesus knew that a future just judgment by his Father God would give him present endurance. Scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Leave the judgment up to the God of the universe. Be willing to take a step back and to suffer for Christ. And here it is. Here's the heartbeat of the passage. Here is verse 24. He himself, being Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He quotes Isaiah 53 to really bring out the punishment that Jesus took on your behalf and on my behalf. I want you to consider something. Most of us have heard the stories about the lashings that Jesus took on his back. We've heard the stories about the crown made out of thorns that was pressed into his forehead that caused blood to drip down. We all know, we're a gospel culture here in the South. We know about the nails that went into Christ's hands and his feet. And we know about how he hung on the cross and suffered unjustly. The question is, why would he do that? Why would he do that? And the answer is, because he loved you. He died for you. By his wounds, you have been healed. By his wounds, you've been healed. The God of all the universe came down in the form of a man, stretched himself out on a cross to die for you and me, and to suffer. He was the suffering servant. And we are to walk in his example. And maybe you've never heard the message, what we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good news. And it's the good news that you can be forgiven of your sins. All of us in the room, all of us in the world, if you're a human being, you have flaws. You've done things in your past that you are not proud of. The Bible calls these things sins. And this is exactly why Jesus was nailed to the cross, for sins. He suffered for your sin and my sin. And God is reaching out to you this morning. And you might be asking yourself, how can I be right with God? That's the most important question a person will ever ask. How can I be right with God? And the simple way that we do that is by the scripture I read during the prayer time earlier in the book of Romans. You are to confess
that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, you have a new master in your life now, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You're submitting yourself to Him. When you confess that in your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, Scripture says you will be saved. Not you might be saved. It says you will be saved. And that is the message of the gospel. That's the message that this church wants to promote in all of the neighborhoods in Fort Mill and Rock Hill and Charlotte and Lancaster and all the surrounding areas, Indian Land. This is the message that we are here to spread. And it's the message that Christ wants you to spread in your workplaces. By His wounds you have been healed. You can tell your lost coworker. Jesus came and He died for you. And after the conclusion of the worship service, we're going to have counselors back in room 4 right behind the sound booth, and they will walk you through different scripture passages. If you have never trusted in Christ before, you have an opportunity today. God is calling out to you. Maybe you haven't been in church in quite a long time, and this is your first Sunday that you've been in a church in a long time. We welcome you here. But we also don't want you to leave knowing that your soul can be right with your Maker before you leave the room today. And the answer is by simple faith and trusting in Christ. The world wants you to rely on your good works to try to earn favor with God, and you just can't do it. Scripture says we're all sinful and fall short of the glory of God. Confess that to the Lord today, maybe for the first time. What you're doing is you're admitting that you're a sinner. You're admitting that you've done poor things and things you're not proud of in your past. And you want to turn, the word is repent in the Bible, you want to turn and repent and start following Christ. And this is your day to do that. Don't put it off. You know what Satan's doing right now? Satan is whispering in your heart things that you're going to do this afternoon. He wants you to take your mind off of this worship service right now at the moment. He wants you to think about your work tomorrow morning. He wants you to think about everything but the moment right now. And Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Don't put this off any longer. You can have your soul settled with Jesus Christ today. And you don't have to do 1,000 push-ups. You can't earn it, even if you wanted to. There's no merit or effort. You're too sinful. You and I are too sinful. What we have to do is trust in Christ's death. And once we do that, God says you're forgiven of your sins and that you will spend eternity with Him in a place called heaven one day. Doesn't that sound wonderful? And that's your opportunity today. You can do that today. And don't put it off till tomorrow. Maybe you are a Christian and you have sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit in this family of believers here. You just haven't been to church in a while. You just simply haven't been plugged into a church family. Scripture teaches that we can't live this Christian life by ourselves. We need help. And God has given us a church, has given us the church as the way to help you. We would love for you to be a part of this church. So if that's what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, we would love for you to be involved in this church and to continue on with us through the book of 1 Peter throughout the summer. Continue fellowshipping with this body of believers. We have a meal in a minute. All of you are invited. You don't have to sign up. It's not a pre-sign up or anything, but all of you are invited to stay and to fellowship and get to know the people around here. We'd love y'all to stay with your children here and hang out with us for a little bit. We have counselors in the back, as I just mentioned a second ago, that will share with you and your family how to be saved. And if you're lost and you've never trusted in Christ, you need to be saved today. It's my responsibility as a pastor to tell you that if you have never called upon Christ as your Savior, that you remain in your sin, and that God says in the Bible, I didn't write this, that God says in the Bible that you will spend eternity when you die, not if, when you die, separated from God in a place called hell. And hell is nasty in Scripture. It is a place of eternal punishment. We are not annihilated when we die. It is an eternity. The Scripture depicts it as weeping and gnashing of teeth, gritting your teeth together because you're in so much pain. It's my responsibility as a pastor, as a shepherd you to tell you that your future, your eternity, is of the utmost importance and must not be put off this morning. If you have never trusted in Christ, this is going to be your future. God says it. The good news for you and I is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Take hold of that eternal life this morning. Don't let today pass without being sure where you're going when you die. Pray with me.